Okay, here at Hard Rock Hell, I'm talking to Andy Parker, drummer for the legendary band UFO. And he just played an absolute fabulous set here. How was it?
It was short.
Short
but sweet, yes it was. A lot of energy from the audience, which you expect from this gig. But yeah, it was unfortunate. We started off getting an hour, which is about half of what we normally do. And then I guess with the changeover took longer and they cut us down. But yeah, it was good. It was, the good thing about doing a show, you can put a lot of energy in there. You know, you don't have to worry about, like, you know, overplaying.
I have to say, it's the best performance I've ever seen from this lineup of UFO.
Really?
Phenomenal tonight. Phil Moss, voice fantastic.
He had a little bit of trouble on the last run about a month ago. You know, we all got sick on that scanner.
That's why you're called the flu,
voice. But, you got a hand into the guy. I mean, he really soldiered on anyway. He did the show.
Yeah.
We were on the boat on this classic rock cruise, and his voice was gone. But it's one of those things, you can't actually, on a boat, you can't tell people the gig sounds to go home.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ocean, it's kind of like, so it was kind of like, get on with it, and he pulled it off. But he's doing a lot better.
It's like tonight, it was absolutely spot on,
I've got so much respect for the guy.
Let's go back to the early days, and we go back to your childhood, actually. When you first got a drum kit, it's quite an interesting story behind
that. You've seen it on my...
Yeah, I'll be doing my own work this week.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the fortune bit. £35 drums that leads to fame and fortune. Well, the fame, yes, is the fortune I'm not quite so sure about.
Well, sorry, I'll
go back and find that bloke, aren't we?
But, you know, he's going to go on a school trip to France.
Yeah, I was. My sister had been. I got a sister who was 2 years older. She'd already done it, you know. And it was like a school trip again. I don't know about you, but back, you know, when I was kind of, you know, I think I was 13 then. My parents didn't have a lot of money, you know. I mean, there was four kids, and my dad was self-employed, so it was, you know, we did okay, but it was kind of like 35 quid then to find. It was quite a lot of money. And I'd been saving for wanting a drum kit so bad, and it was kind of like, well, you can go on the school trip, or you can have the money towards a drum kit. It's like, no contest, dude, because I've been to Paris. Shit, I was actually in Paris 2 days ago at the airport, so, you know, so it's like, you know.
But you went there.
Yeah, I'm glad I took the drum kit. You know?
And, you guys have been going for a long time, like 1969, the first album.
40-odd years now. Yeah. I mean, I haven't done the... That's why I say Phil's done the whole 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to admire him.
You've taken time out here and there.
I've took a hiatus here and there. You've got to come back and get your pension, apparently. You've got to put so many years in, you know.
And, you know, like, you did two albums with Mick Bolton on guitar.
Yeah.
But obviously...
Yeah, two albums and Alive.
That's right,
Yes.
And then a young guitarist came along by Mr. Michael Schenker, and he made a completely different sound to the band, more commercial.
He absolutely did. You know, the thing is with...
his neighbour.
Yes, okay. So, with Mick, you know, I mean, he kind of... I guess the band sort of developed as far as it was going to go with Mick. And we had different ideas, and Mick didn't. So, you know, that's kind of usually... I think that's usually the way, you know, like, you know, opinions differ, you know, so... Part company, and there was a couple of guys in between, Larry Wallace, after Mick.
Did he end up in Motorhead for a little while?
Yeah, and then Bernie Marsden,
because he toured with UFO, but he didn't actually record with the band, did he?
No, he didn't, because we were actually in dispute then. We'd done the albums with Beacon Records. In fact, we didn't record for a long time. It wasn't until we signed with Christus, I think in 74, then by that time we had Michael. I think we found Michael, maybe around 73, and did Phenomena 74. So we were actually a long time without product, which was tough. That was. But we were just gigs, and I think that's, you know, sometimes I think that maybe that's why we have such our fans are just so diehard. You know, they're old fans, and maybe because, you know, we just went out there and just played. That's all we could do. We didn't have any products, so I think that really helped.
And I'll say, you know, you did like with the Schenker line, I'm just like five albums and a live album.
Yeah, and then that was when we really hit our stride. Yeah. Really saw our direction. And, you know, I've said this a bunch of times before, UFO is one of those bands, and I've always admired this about this band, that we were never like like a trend following band. It was never kind of, you never sat down and gone, well, what's hit, what's, you know, who are we going to target? It's just like whatever's there,
yeah,
we did, you know, and that's always the way. Just people chuck their ideas in and it was like, that's it, you like it or you don't. And that's still going on today. Yeah. And I think that's just a really good way to be.
And there were so many great songs you wrote around that time, like Doctor Doctor, Rock Bottom, To the Hot Handle, Shoot Shoot.
We're still playing them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're such great songs, that's why they're telling us.
People demand them, you know. It's, yeah. They go to, you know, you play. I said, well, there's only
some.
That's all right. Nice neighbour, eh? Did she do this at home?
He did this to me earlier.
Oh, did he?
All right. It's retribution.
Do you run around and sit on his lap like on your arm?
When I was doing an interview, right, he came up and went,
all right, I see.
Yeah. Okay. So it's retribution, yeah. Right, Mark?
Right, bob off.
No. So, what's your favourite colour?
Black. That's just red, though.
It is one of those weekends. It's like it's a booze fest as well as a rock fest.
It's like, well, you know, we need to guess.
That's right. Yeah, it's like talk about time.
Exactly. I mean, it was just a great. I mean, that 70s thing with Michael. It's just the band hit its stride and people started taking notice of us. And of course, we managed to get to America, which is a big thing back then. I mean, it was tough to get there, you know. There was no MTV, you had to go in debt to your record company to get there back then.
Do you feel like you've peaked, because like you was like one of the front runners of the rock bands kind of thing, you was like 5 years too early, really.
Once again, Peter said this, you know, that I think really, and I'm not, and this is not in any way blame or anything, it's just, you know, life is life and it goes the way it does, but I think probably Michael leaving when he did really hurt the band. We had such a momentum going, you know, we had some great albums and Strangers and Obsession, and I think, you know, I sometimes think that maybe if he'd have stayed for like one more album, we would have just, you know,
gone for it.
But you don't know, and it's like, you know, hey, he had to do what he had to do, and I admire that, because I've always felt that, you know, if you're not happy, there's not a lot of point doing it.
I was like, because you were young when you started UFO, and like, obviously Michael Schenker, he was a teenager as well. Do you think that was part of the problem, because he started so young?
Well, Mark, you know, the thing was back then, we never had any time to ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically, you spent like 9 months of the year on the road, touring consistently. You came off the road, you went into rehearsal, you went in the studio, and then you went back on the road again.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, and somewhere, something's got to give.
There's
a
burnout.
There's got to be a burnout, and we did, what, you know, 5 years nearly of that, you know, just solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, different people handle it different ways, and Michael's a genius, you know,
you can't take
that away from him, and, you know, some people are cut out for the road better than others, you know, and, I mean, I personally had, you know, a problem with, you know, my marriage failed, and you know, you go through it, and sometimes people don't understand, you know, people are like, you know, fans or outside of things don't understand that, you know, we do have personal lives, and sometimes your personal life gets in the way of your professional life, and it can really screw with you, you know. And I think that, you know, Michael had, you know, and he still does sometimes have those problems.
Of course, Michael left, and then you had Paul Tonka Chapman.
But Paul was great, you know, but I just think the band, I mean, and no disrespect to Paul either, I mean, we did some great albums with Paul, you know, some really good, which I think by that time, unfortunately, I think our record company had kind of like moved on, you know. Phil talks about Flavour of the Month, we weren't, you know. I think that's a shame, because there was some real good stuff, you know.
Yeah, because that's all around the punk time, really.
Exactly, and they kind of moved on to other things. I mean, you know, you look at No Place to Run and The Wild, The Willing and Mechanics, and, you know, making, there was some great stuff that it just really didn't get the help it needed. And, you know, I just think, you know, so the band kind of wound down, and so then that's kind of like a vicious circle, because, you know, then the kind of the alcohol and drug abuse tends to take, you know, you're kind of depressed, you're not getting anywhere, and the whole kind of thing just really went into meltdown.
Like you say, you know, there are great albums you did with Paul Chapman.
Absolutely.
But you don't seem to play any of those songs in your set.
Ah.
And I think a lot of parkour UFO fans demand it.
This is very true, and we do use the website to get feedback, and I would guess maybe a couple of years back, you know, we were getting a lot of people saying, you know, why aren't you playing any stuff from the Chapman era? Why aren't you playing any stuff from the Chapman era? And you're right, there's some good songs. So we actually put Letting Go and and Long Gone into the set.
Excellent.
Right? And they died a day.
Really, yeah.
So where those people were...
The majority
exactly. The people who were yelling for them obviously weren't in the audience because they just didn't go down. And Phil's, you know, quite rightly, it's like, we've got a lot of material. If you're going to elbow material that people want for material they don't want, then I'm afraid, you know. And we tried it for, a couple of weeks, and it was just
like... You sit those songs in, and then maybe Too Hot Handle or something else has got to give.
Exactly, because, you know, you've only got maybe 2 hours with encores, if you're lucky, you know. Probably by the time you take all the talking and the going off and coming on, you've maybe got an hour and 40, and we've got a lot of back catalogue. You know, there's certain things, you know, Love to Love, Lights Out. I mean, obviously Lights Out didn't go today because it was a short set. You know, Rock Bottom, Too Hot to Handle, Only You Can Rock Me. There's a lot of stuff that people really, you know, they're going to get pissed off if you don't play it. And just face it, they paid for the ticket. It's no good going, oh, well, I'm sorry, you know, we're going to play what we want or what so-and-so wrote into the website once, you know, we've tried. And I have to say, I mean, Kate will back me up on this.
Kate,
we're talking about the Paul Chapman era stuff, and we tried it in the set, didn't we? It just didn't. It just died.
The
stuff in there, and he was saying, well, you know, I said, well, we did try it because we look at the, we were getting this feedback from the website, and we really did try it. We had Letting Go and Long Gone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the atmosphere,
the energy level.
Yeah.
On
the message board saying they want it.
It's
usually sort of the small
hardcore. And they just weren't in the audience. But I'll tell you what, it's very interesting. We just put, and it wasn't in today, obviously, because we had this light short set, but Try Me just came back.
Yeah.
It's going down so well.
Try Me. Yeah, it's a fantastic song.
We never played it. We never really ever played it. And
it's one of my favourite songs, actually.
And I guess when the guys did Showtime, they did a version of it on Showtime with the strings and everything. So just recently, Barry is a major fan. He's like the UFO jukebox.
Yeah, it's Barry Sparks, new bass player.
You ask him any song, even songs look, I can't remember at all, you know. He knows them all, he knows the words. And he's going, Try Me, and it's a great song. So.
Didn't you put Belladonna in your set?
Russia. Well, who knew? Apparently it was a hit in Russia. Yeah. We didn't know. We've been there about a week. Oi, just get your hands off. I don't want your herby jersey.
So you're all studying your wine again.
You got cooties, though. So it went in the set, and it went down pretty well. Apparently it was a major hit there, which we didn't know. We'd never been there.
It's got classical sort of sound to it, I suppose.
Yes, Danny Perennial. I believe that was nice.
And you know, as a drummer, you know, you spend all your time looking at the backs of your
You do.
And in the case of Pete Wade, that can't be too pretty, because like his trousers have a habit of falling down.
Where was the gig where his trousers actually came right down? At some point Vinny actually put a guitar pick in his back crack. Where the hell was that? I just can't remember.
Not the Astoria.
Outdoor gig. Yeah. It was Rock and Blues? No, Sweden Rock.
Yeah, but you saw the full one.
But you know, that's Pete. And you know, God bless him. People keep asking about Pete. We haven't officially replaced Pete.
Yeah, it's not like, is he on like sick leave kind of thing? He's still officially a member.
We just keep hoping that he's going to pull it together. Yeah. You know? I mean, in the meantime, I've got to say, you know, I'm loving it with Barry. I mean, Barry's a great
player.
Yeah, he really. I mean, all the guys we've used, and you know, we've used some great guys, Rob DeLuca and Jeff Coleman. Barry really just seems to fit the band. He's such a huge.
He seems to be enjoying it as well. Exactly.
Like I said, and it's like, and he's kind of, he keeps coming up with these songs that we've like long forgotten. That being a, kind of as a fan, he goes, oh man, it's a great song. He actually had us. We did, I think, one night. We did Reasons Love. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
song?
Yeah, from Heavy Petting.
And there was a drum break. I don't even remember playing that. But you know, so he's good. He kind of comes up. That's a great song. We should try that. So it's fun.
So how is Pete anyway these days?
I understand he's doing okay. This is a hard thing for me to deal with. I was really hoping I'd see him in Birmingham yesterday, but I guess he's in Brighton now. He's working with Michael and Herman. So I'm hoping I'll see him in Brighton when we're there next week. But
he surprised me because he came on with Michael Schenker at Shepherd Bush earlier this year.
Yeah, and Paul, didn't he?
Paul Raymond,
but he's not up to UFO yet, as far as we're aware. And I think Pete's biggest problem is that he needs to kind of accept the fact that he needs to get well, and he's got major problems, liver problems, and you know how it works here. If you don't meet them halfway, the National Health isn't going to help you.
That's right, yeah.
And you know, from what I understand, he did start off with the best intentions. But they're not giving him the medication because he hasn't changed his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that really worries me because, you know, he thinks he's bulletproof. And we all think
he has been for years.
Exactly. But at some point, man, his luck's going to run out. And he's just such a great guy, such a great talent. To me, it's just like, I just wish that he would go, you know, okay, I just need to address this. At some point he did, back when we were doing Monkey Puzzle. No, he was on Monkey Puzzle. When we were doing The Visitor.
Yeah.
He actually took time out and he started to see his doctor and he was doing real well for a while, but I guess, you know, the demons are strong.
Yeah. It's a shame, you know, because he's a much loved character.
I have to say I do miss him.
Yeah,
I really
bet,
do miss
yeah.
him, you know.
We wish him all the best.
And you know, exactly, and you know, to be honest, I need a good slap him because I haven't kept in touch with him as much as I could. But he's hard to find now. He left home, I guess he broke up with his wife. I don't really know where he is, except that we heard that he's in Brighton. So I'm really hoping that I'll see him in Brighton.
I really hope
that he just, you know, even if he doesn't come back to UFO, that he really gets himself together, because he needs to be around.
Yeah, because he's got some project wasted.
Thank you. He needs to be around for a long time because he's such a great guy, and he was such a huge part of this band, and I do miss him. You know, I mean, yeah, like I said, Barry's great, and there's a lot of Pete in Barry.
Yeah,
because Barry's a huge Pete fan.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, even the bass is the same sort of style. Isn't
exactly,
it?
You know, and he's like but you know, Pete is Pete. There's only one of him, you know, and it's hard. You know? People ask all the time, and you know, it's hard for us to deal with. We do miss him.
Let's talk about like the last two albums, Monkey Puzzle and The Visitor. It's great albums, especially Monkey Puzzle. I love that album.
You know, actually, I almost prefer Monkey to The Visitor. Drum wise,
yeah.
I thought I had a better drum sound on Monkey Puzzle, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's a great album. And how do you feel those albums stand up towards to the rest of the catalogue of UFO?
Well, I mean, you can't sit still, can you? You know, you can't just. I think that's why, as I said earlier, this band is always a band that plays what's there. And I just think, you know, if you don't move on, you're dead. Or, you know, it's just, you know, I hate to mention names, but there's certain bands that just keep turning out the same old, like, formulaic thing. And it's just, that isn't us. And when I came back, you know, and I'd heard some of Vinny's solo stuff, and I was thinking, man, you know, that's a kind of interesting thing. You know, this guy's just, he's just so up there. But there's something about the chemistry with Vinny. He just has a whole different, you know, you listen
to his, completely different to Schenker, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's completely different if you listen to his solo albums. Vinny Moore, you know, to how he is with UFO. And I was like, man, this is like real. When I heard the material of a Monkey, I was like, man, this is like really bluesy.
Mm.
And that's kind of where we started, you know, out that kind of.
How did you get around to joining UFO? You know, was there other names on
Paul Raymond called me, actually.
Yeah.
You mean in 2005 when I came back? Yeah, I guess Jason had left to join. Jason was doing UFO and Foreigner for a while.
That's right, yeah, Jason Bonham, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the schedules got a little bit too heavy, and Jason decided, you know, that he needed to spend the time with Foreigner. And they had a show booked in Spain that they, you know, they'd signed contracts on. They had no drummer, and I got it was August Bank Holiday.
Yeah, I think it was done in Granada. I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was exactly. Yeah. Yes, it was August Bank Holiday. I'm just going to guess 2005.
Yeah, I think that's about the same. Yeah.
And the gig was in November, I believe. And I was sitting at home. I was still working for my family then. Mm. But I already decided I was going to leave that job and move back to Texas. I had enough of like corporate shit. I mean, just, you know, I'd done it, been there, done it, got the t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting at home, you know, one afternoon. And I hadn't actually told my family that I was moving back to Texas.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I kind of decided that's what we did, but I hadn't told anybody. We had a house on the market. I got my green card back.
Yeah.
You know, I've done all that stuff. And, you know, I said to her, you know, this is getting kind of awkward now, you know. Someone's going to see the house in the paper or something. And I said, well, and I said, I need to tell my brothers that I'm leaving. And she said, well, are you sure we haven't sold that house? I said, well, the house will sell. You know, I got to do this. I said, tomorrow when I go in, which was Tuesday morning, because it was a bank holiday Monday, it was nice, sunny, you know, I said, having a beer or whatever, drinking a glass of wine, as you do. And I said, no, I'm decided. When I go in tomorrow morning, I'm going to tell them that we know that, that you know we're going back, and you know I'm leaving. All right, fair enough. I swear to God, 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, the phone rang. Bit to the phone. Hey, Andy, what's this? It's Paul Raymond. I went, man, I haven't talked to you in ages. He said, yeah, well, Phil said it's not a lot of point because you've always said no before, but we were wondering, Jason said, we got this gig, would you mind coming back? Yeah. And I went, you know, that is just so weird because I've actually quit, you know, back quit my job.
Yeah.
And he said,
it all fell in place.
And I kind of tentatively did the one gig. But you know, it was just so comfortable going around to those guys. Yeah. It really was, and it was just so much fun.
I was like, 'cause you've been in and out of the band a couple of times.
Yeah, I left in '83 because I was going through a divorce, and I had a 3-year-old daughter then, so I needed to spend time with her. I was fighting for custody, basically. Yeah. So that was. And then I came back in '94 and did the Walk on
Water. Yeah, Walk on Water album, which is a fantastic album.
Right. Yeah,
and then
they said, well, you know, you're going to do the tour, and I got to tell you, this has always been a problem. It was just this weird tension between Mike, basically between Michael and Phil.
Yeah.
Pete was just Pete, you know, and that was great, and Paul, and it was really great. We had Ron Nemerson producing again. It was the same band, you know, from all those, and that part of it was great. But I could just see this kind of like
being there, done that.
You could actually feel it, you know, the tension in there. And when they said, you want to go on the run, I went, you know what? I got this gig with my family, you know. And I went, you know, I'm gonna pass. And in hindsight, I made the right decision because they had a lot of trouble. There's a lot of problems on that thing.
It's all, you're running more problems with Schenker down the road.
Exactly,
as well.
You know, and that's the thing, and that's the one thing that I tell a lot of people that interview me is that, you know, I love Michael, he's just an incredible musician, incredible guy, but it's that instability, that kind of, you know, I can't deal with it. At this stage of my life, I want to know that I'm walking out on that stage, I'm going to actually get to play the gig, you know, and I'm going to get to play the next gig, and we're going to finish the tour. And that kind of, you know, inconsistency is just not where I'm at. And that's really a lot of the reason that I didn't come back the times they asked me before. And in fact, at some point, their manager called me and said that, you know, Michael believes that, you know, you should be in the band, that he feels that there's a, you know, and I said, well, you know, nothing would please me more. I said, you know, going to a factory every day isn't really where I want to be, but it's real and it's stable. I said, you know, if you can prove to me the band's going to be, you know, I said, give it a month and call me again. And within a month it had fallen apart again. So, you know, so that was difficult. You know, it was very difficult for me to do, you know, because you know my heart is it's like, but you know, you've got to be a grown up sometimes. You know, I had a kid in college. You know, it's like, man, you've got to make decisions that sometimes are hard to make. But you know, hey, you know, I'm still here. And now, it's like my kid's grown up. She's working.
Now you're a free man.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. You know, and I did a lot. You know, I put a lot of time in with my family. And I made some smart decisions. And you know, I'm kind of like, I've got other things going in my life, but you know, now I can actually really do this.
It's like a working hobby,
I can do it and enjoy it. That's the whole point. And to me, as I said to you earlier, it's like, if you're not enjoying it, man, there is not a lot of point
doing it. Yeah.
Why? Because it's, you know, if you're not enjoying it, are the audience going to enjoy it? It's kind of, no. You know,
and what's all better this year? You played the High Voltage Festival.
That was tough.
Yes, I bet.
We had a band here this year. We had a lot of shit.
If everything could go wrong, it can happen to UFO.
We had the freaking ash cloud, you know, and we got stuck in Greece. We had a lot of stuff, and personally I had some stuff this year, but I have to say, and I'm going to say this to everyone out there, thank you so, because they were really kind to us.
If
you looked at the press, no one harped on the fact, you know, and it seemed like an eternity. It probably was maybe 10 minutes, but when you're sitting out there, it's like, oh my God.
It was like, why did, you know, I tell this to
I know.
He played one song and then could put
oh my God, and it was just,
once I just put Phil Moore, my punch, Billy Moore's lights out in London.
He was good though, wasn't he? It's like, you know, it's quite humorous. Never on X Factor. But he was really cool, but it was tough. But when I looked at the reviews, I was dreading it. You know? And the hardest thing was they were actually recording it, which was a shame. Because it screwed up the recording. But, you know, but yeah, I looked at it and said, you know, UFO, trouble with him, but played a blind. And everyone said that we. And it, I guess once it came back, that I felt bad for Billy because he had none of his pedals, none of his effects.
Must be embarrassing for him.
He had a guitar lead, and he didn't dare move because he was afraid of a cutout. So his gig was kind of trash.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, this band is known for coming back.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. You're just
in the face of adversity.
Well, Andy Parker, we could talk all day.
Oh,
we'd love it talking to you.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, man.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All the best.